The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
It is Friday, November 10th, 2023. It is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter Spaces. You can hear the show in its entirety when we're done here on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's going on, everybody? I am Mike Heck. Not only is it November 10th, we are on the eve of UFC 295. The weigh-ins just wrapped up not that long ago. Hope you guys got the chance to check out AK and Casey and Jose on the weigh-in show. The big fights are on. They are a go. Alex Pereira, Yuri Prochazka, both under the championship limit. Pereira's at 204, Prochazka 204.2. And the heavyweights in the co-main event for the interim title, Sergey Pavlovich 259.8. Tommy Aspinall actually weighing in more than that. 261.6. I think that's the most Tom Aspinall has weighed in his UFC run thus far. And we did have two misses. Jamal Emmers missed weight by a pound ahead of his fight with Dennis Bazuka. No word on fines, what's going to happen there. I assume that will go forward. And the other weight miss, although not very surprising, although I'm seeing a lot of people give him a bunch of crap for this, but Roosevelt Roberts, who took this fight on less than a week's notice, missed weight by 2 pounds. So I assume that fight will probably go forward as well with Matuidi Trubetsky. And we will see how that all pans out. Hopefully we'll get word soon on what happens there. And once I find out, I will let you guys know as well. But yeah, let's take your calls. We're going to go for about 40 or so minutes. Let's get through as many of these as we can. Four Corner Sports, go ahead. Okay, it's not going through for some reason. Let's see if we can get Abzualia through. There we go.
Well, how you doing?
Hello, sir. Good.
Yeah, so just wanted to ask your thoughts on with Ilia Topuria and Volk, right? I know that fight's months away, but I was just watching a few of their fights, you know, recent old stuff. I'm really curious to see if Ilia's boxing will get the upper hand against Volk, despite how good of a striker Volk is and his switch stance and distances. And also, you know, the wrestling and jiu-jitsu, that's a very massive question. You know, Volk's probably the toughest dude to probably ever submit in modern UFC history, in my opinion. But I'm definitely curious to see how that fight goes. You know, and another thing I really want to see from Volk is, will he be able to use his wrestling really effectively the way he did on, you know, Ortega, on Yair Rodriguez, and even, you know, some of the other fighters he fought when he just first joined the UFC. That's all I have, man. Have a great day.
It's a great fight. I am incredibly fascinated by that one, especially after Volk just got obliterated by Islam Makhachev. Like, is February too soon? Is Father Time catching up with Volkanovski? We knew this day would come at some point. Has it arrived? Was it the short notice nature? It's not an excuse. Never going to use it. Neither will he. But we're going to find out in February, because Ilya Topuria is not going to go in there and try to point fight Volk. He's going to try to take his freaking head off. So, yes, fascinating fight. Looking forward to it. And we're going to learn a lot about both guys here. We're going to learn a lot about both guys. I feel like February is too soon for Volk, but it's better than January. So I'm okay with that. It is February 18th. So it's about a month after that. So he gets an extra like 4 weeks. I'll take it. But yeah, it's a huge fight for Volk. It's a huge fight. He could be leaving February 18th with losses in 3 of 4. That's, and no longer being the featherweight champion. But boy, after that loss to Makhachev, there are a lot of questions. Can he come back? Yair's a really difficult style matchup, and Volk pretty much perfect gamed him, as he's done to his last bunch of featherweight opponents. Did it to Zombie, did it to Holloway, did it to Yair. I mean, he didn't even break a sweat in either of those fights. Three incredibly impressive title defenses. So the good thing about the Makhachev loss is now Volk is just going to fight featherweights. And that's a world I want to live in. Because there's all these people out there that keep telling me, Mike, Volk has cleaned out this division. No, he hasn't. No, he has not. He's not even close to cleaning out the division yet. So there's like 3 or 4 guys that are going to be coming for him. And it starts with Topuria. We got Evloev. Arnold Allen's coming. There's a lot of dudes coming that I want to see Volk fight. So it's going to be an interesting stretch for him through 2025 or 2024 and into 2025 if he's still the champion. J-Mac, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. I was just looking at the card this weekend, and there is 3 dogs I like. I like Frivola. I like Godinez. And what was the other one?
Oh, Godinez is a favorite.
Oh, she's favorite now?
Minus 170. Like, yeah, she's been the favorite all week.
Okay, well, then never mind that on that one. And then I was looking for a third, and I was thinking Pat Sabatini possibly versus Diego Lopez. What do you think about some good dogs this weekend? What's your take?
Thanks, man. Let me look at my bets real quick to see what kind of dogs I'm looking at here. What do I have for dogs? I got Diego Lopez. Sabatini is the favorite, but just like it's down to a pickup now. I got Diego Lopez at plus 100. So I took that. I took Tabitha Ricci against Loopy. Not loving that, but I kind of feel like they're very similar in a lot of ways. It's almost like Tabitha is what like Loopy, like if Loopy wasn't as, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. I'm not going to say reckless because Loopy's not reckless, but she is a little more chaotic. She does bring the fight a little bit more. But Tabitha Ricci is a very smart fighter, and she's been able to neutralize fighters who bring the ruckus and are able to bring the chaos and can get quick finishes and throw flurries and do all that. She's done very well in those types of fights. And I think Tabitha's probably fought better competition all in all, a little bit more experience inside the octagon. She's on a nice run right now. So, and Tabitha's been very consistent. She's been very consistent. Loopy has looked great when she's been great, and she's looked pretty bad when she hasn't had her fastball. So I think there's value at Ricci at plus 142. Wouldn't shock me if Loopy won, but I think this should be lined a little bit closer, so I think there's a little bit of value there. Sabatini's still the favorite. They're both minus money right now. Sabatini's minus 118. Diego Lopez minus 102, so it's dropped 2 points. It was minus 120 for Sabatini, plus 100 for Diego when I took it. Boy, that line on Frivola is dropping a little bit. Frivola was like a plus 220 a couple of days ago. He's down to a plus 180. So apparently you're not the only one who feels like he's a dog. But, man, I got a bunch of exposure on Benoit Saint-Denis here. It's just – he has just been a friggin' wrecking ball. And he's going to be a tough out for anybody. And it's tough to pick against Matt. I kind of don't like that I'm doing it, but I got a lot of – where's my exposure here? I got Saint-Denis by KO TKO at plus 165. That's what I have. And then I have like a little weird parlay with BSD and Dern that pays out a plus 119 because I didn't want to bet on them individually. So I just parlayed them together. So that's where I'm at here. Let me see the rest. I feel like Dern's just going to smush Andrade, but I mean, I do think there's value at plus 170 there. She doesn't look great, but who knows? If McKenzie reverts back to the pre-Angela Hill McKenzie, then Andrade has a very good chance of winning that fight. I mean, Kyung Ho Kang at dog money's not bad. Yeah, it's not like a ton. This is a weird card to bet on, honestly. It really is. So I don't have a ton of bets. I mean, the things that I have wagers on for the watch party, I have like just a lot of exposure on. So I have like a lot of props, a lot of parlays, some over-under stuff. I think the only individual bets that I have are that aren't proppy is Lopez, Aspinall, Pereira, and Ricci. Everything else is like a parlay or some sort of proppy prop. But I guess that's a good match made card because it gives gamblers some tough choices to make. Four Corner Sports, we have you.
Yes. So I wanted to talk about Matt Frivola versus Benoit Saint-Denis. So I wasn't sure who to pick. I just put it as under 2.5 and fight ends by knockout. Just because I know Benoit Saint-Denis is very tough and very durable. I think his lone loss in the UFC was at welterweight. I wasn't sure who to pick, but something tells me that Max Frivola is just going to feed off the energy that's inside the garden and pull through. But then, you know, how can you bet against BSD? I was talking to a couple of my buddies, and we were discussing, I don't know, I feel like the momentum and the vibes are screaming that Loopy Godinez is going to pull this one through. I know that Tabitha, her lone loss was against Manny Fiorito, but I just feel that Loopy, I think she's grown better as a fighter, and I think her growth and her development, I feel like especially, you know, training down there with Moreno and the rest of the guys and girls in Mexico, I feel like she has more tools to expose Ricci than Ricci exposing Loopy. I have a parlay of Lopez and Loopy. I think I got it at like plus 120 now. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think Loopy gets it done over Ricci inside the distance, or you think this fight goes to the cards? Thanks, Mike.
This fight is definitely going to the cards. I mean, let me see what the over. It's got to be a 2.5 over. Over 2.5 is minus 425. That should tell you everything you need to know here. This is going to the cards for sure. I don't know. I mean, look. Let's look at her resume. I thought she beat Jessica Penne. It was a close fight. She did take it on somewhat short notice. Sylvania Gomez-Juarez, no longer in the UFC. Luana Carolina, I mean, she lost that fight, but that was one of those ones where she went up a weight class and fought 7 days after the Gomez-Juarez win. Beats Loma, ages well. Carnelosi, okay fighter, not great. Gets the step up against Angela Hill, loses that fight. Close fight with Cynthia Calvillo. Very, very close fight. I felt like Loopy probably won, but that was way too close for comfort against someone who was on that big of a losing streak. Emily Ducote, fine win, not a great win. Elise Reed, not a great win. I mean, she's doing what she needs to do. She's a good fighter. She's a good fighter, but is she a top 15 fighter? We're going to find out. Let's look at Ricci's resume right now in the UFC. Lost to Fiorio, beat Oliveira, beat Viana, beat Penne, beat Jillian Robertson. This is a good fight. I feel like they're so similar. Their games are very similar in a lot of ways. So, and I just feel like Tabitha's been doing this just a little bit longer. And like at this kind of a level, I know Loopy's got more actual fights, but early on in her career, she was just fighting everybody on the regional scene. I don't know. It's going to be a good fight. That's why I think when I actually do like my MMA fighting staff picks, I'll probably pick Loopy. But I just think there's value on Ricci. Because I think they're just so similar. It's plus 140. The line really hasn't moved. I think it's lined right. But two similar fighters. I don't think one's truly better than the other. I'll take a shot on the dog here. I'm not confident, but I'll take a shot on the dog. That's where I'm at. And please don't tail me on any betting. Like, I'm literally betting. I literally bet on just the watch party cards and the ones that I'm on no bets barred for. Like if I have to hop in for Jet or GC. I am by no stretch somebody you should be tailing. The one bet you could have tailed me on was my all-in bet that Logan Paul, Dylan Danis actually happens. So I'm actually like up units on the year, even though my record is horrendous. But I bet I went like banana. I think it was like a 15-unit bet on that fight actually happening, and it did. So I'm over the top here. So we'll see. It's going to be a good card.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let's go to Cole. Yeah, Cole.
Hi, Mike. Given that we're at MSG tomorrow, I just want to know if you feel the same way about how I feel about this. But UFC 205 in 2016 at MSG the first time, I think that, to me, like whenever I look back on that card, the UFC's never been more credible, more professional, more grand. Just everything about that main card, not even talking about Habib, Michael Johnson, really, just everything about that main card and the way it was put together, the production, the crowd, Connor, freaking Chris Weidman, Yoel Romero, Joanna versus Carolina, and then Woodley and freaking Thompson putting on a hell of a fight. I mean, that card, to me, whenever I look back at that, is just chef's kiss UFC. Like, it felt so big that night. Like, I felt like the sport could never have been bigger. The sport was on a rocket ship after that night. I just, I just want to know if you feel the same way about that.
Yeah, that was, I mean, look, there was a fight for years to get the UFC and MMA on a professional level legalized in New York, and it took forever. There were hurdles to jump over, so many things, crooked ass politicians, like all sorts of things they needed to overcome in order to get this to pass. And it was close many times, never went through. And then finally it came through in 2016 and they went right to Madison Square Garden. That's where it all started. This is the first event in New York under this era, like where the UFC was just sold for over $4 billion. Conor's the biggest star in the sport, coming off the win over Nate. 2016 was the most chaotic year ever. I mean, this card was everything. Just fuck it. Like, look at this card. It's insane. Liz Carmouche, Caitlin Chookagian. That was the first fight of the card. Jim Miller, Thiago Alves. That was the second fight. Vicente Luque, Bilal Muhammad. That was the third fight. Tim Boach, Rafael Natal was the fourth fight. On the prelims, by the way, Khabib Nurmagomedov against Michael Johnson. That was the coming out party for Khabib Nurmagomedov. To me, and this includes the Conor fight, I know Conor's the bigger fight, but this was the most important night of Khabib Nurmagomedov's rise. This was it. This was when everybody was like, all right, this guy's got something. Cut the promo, beat the shit of Michael Johnson. He's talking to him. He's telling him, like, just stop fighting. Just stop fighting because I'm not going to stop. He's talking to Dana White while Josh Thompson's trying to give him instructions in the corner. Calls out Conor. And if you recall, before Conor was going to fight Eddie Alvarez, Khabib was the guy. They used Khabib as like a bargaining chip in order to get Conor in there. It's crazy. And then Khabib just destroys Michael Johnson, who, by the way, knocked out Dustin Poirier in his fight before that. So Johnson was on a nice little trajectory. And that is just about, I mean, Khabib just mauled him. And there's this moment where Joe Rogan's like, oh, he hurt him. No, he didn't. Because Khabib got 10-8s off that. The landscapers are here, of course, at the perfect time. But we're just going to battle through it. Frankie Edgar, Jeremy Stephens was the featured prelim. Then we got Misha Tate's retirement fight, Raquel Pennington gets the win. The sad moment where Chris Weidman gets knocked out in the third round by Yoel Romero. Joanna and Karolina Kovalevich, actually a pretty good fight. Joanna won. Woodley Thompson, fight that people sort of forget because the second one was so terrible. This was the fight of the night. And then Conor has the perfect game against Eddie Alvarez. Like, this was an incredible event. This was an incredible event. And then they followed it up with the Bisping GSP card, which was fine. It turned out to be GSP's final fight, so that's obviously a very big deal. But we got that. We got Dillashaw Garbrandt, Rose Namajunas, Joanna and Jacek. Actually, this card wasn't bad. Like, now that I think about it, it wasn't bad at all. Steven Thompson, Jorge Masvidal was on that card. Paulo Costa, Johnny Hendricks. That was kind of like the beginning of the end for Johnny Hendricks. We were watching the rise of James Vick at the time. He knocked out Joe Duffy. OSP head kicks Corey Anderson. A lot happened on that card. And then we got UFC 230. This was a tough hang, my friends. This was a cobbled together card. We ended up getting Daniel Cormier and Derek Lewis in the main event for the heavyweight title, where neither guy was healthy, but they just needed something. We had another sad Chris Weidman moment with Jacare. Jared Cannonier, David Branch was the featured bout. Carl Roberson, Jack Marshman was the second fight of the main card. And Israel Adesanya, Derek Brunson opened the main card. It's a tough one. That's a tough one. And then we got 244, BMF title fight with Masvidal and Diaz. But that's not a card that honestly is like aged gracefully in terms of like, man, we have to go back and watch that. Prelims are good. Prelims are good. And then Kevin Lee just annihilated Gregor Gillespie. And then the main card was Derek Lewis, Blagoy Ivanov going to a split decision. Thompson Luque was a good fight. Darren Till, Calvin Gastelum was a terrible fight. And then Masvidal and Nate ended in somewhat controversial fashion, but that was probably the best Masvidal has ever looked in a fight. Then we get Usman Covington 2, Adesanya Pereira, and then we get this card. A lot of people have been asking me like where I rank this one compared to like MSG cards. For what like they bring to MSG, it's probably like I love this card. Me personally, as someone who is going to watch these fights, I am looking forward to it. The top two fights are incredibly fascinating. Mackenzie Dern, Jessica Andrade, fine fight. There's stakes. It matters. BSD and Frivola is awesome. That fight is great. Diego Lopez, Pat Sabatini, like I know we're going to get there. We're going to get an absolute chaotic scramble fest. It's going to look like a cartoon fight where you're just going to see a bunch of rolling around in smoke. That's what those two guys are going to be. So it's going to be a super fun main card. For us, all of us who are listening to my voice right now, but like the casual appeal, like is this going to do great on pay-per-view? No, I don't think it's going to. I don't think this is going to do great on pay-per-view. I don't think it's going to do like 500,000. I think it might do like 3. Jones Stipe, this probably does close to 1 million, but that fight is nowhere near as interesting as the two title fights we're getting tomorrow. So it's just one of those weird cards. I think action-wise, it's great. But if you look at the actual top-to-bottom lineup compared to most of these other cards, I mean, just look at 281. Carlos Ullberg, Nikolai Negomirianu was the first fight. Like, that's a good fight. Montel Jackson, Julio Arce was the second fight. We got Mike Trezano. We got Karolina Kovalkiewicz on the like early prelims. Matt Frivola knocks out Otman Azaitar to close those are the fight pass prelims. And then we get Petrosky Turma. We got Aaron Blanchfield's coming out party against Molly McCann, Ryan Spann, Dominic Reyes. Hinata Moicano cuts the promo of the year after he submits Brad Riddell. And then we get Hooker Poyas. We get Gutierrez Edgar, which is sad because of the way it ended. But the feature fight was Dustin Poirier, Michael Chandler, and then we got two title fights. So yeah, I just don't feel the same energy for this one as I did last year, as I did for 268, as I did for certainly 205. I don't know if you're going to ever top the vibes heading into 205, but yeah, man. But this is, 205 is the perfect storm. This is just a card. Like it's a really good card. You put this card anywhere else and we're like, yeah, this is sick. But MSG, I just think as fans, we expect big names and like a top to bottom stacked lineup. And while I love the lineup and I think it's going to be a fun night of fights, this isn't the typical MSG lineup, if you will. But it's certainly not the worst UFC card at MSG. Even Bellator had an MSG card. They had Sonnen Silva, Mitrione Fedor, and that was the infamous Brent Primus Michael Chandler fight that ended when one of the commission members moved Chandler's stool out of the way and Chandler fell on his ass. So, yeah, some history at MSG, my friends. If you guys want to keep going, we'll keep going, but we got to hop on in here. Otherwise, we're going to wrap up. We do have a preview show at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll be talking a lot more about that. MMA Hour live from New York City, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be a lot of fun with Ariel GC, New York Rick, and the crew. There's probably some special guests along the way. We'll have the People's Pre-Fight Show tomorrow. And obviously, we'll have the watch party and all the other shenanigans as well. So it's going to be a fun weekend, everybody. Let's go to Clearest Values. What's up, Clearest Values? I haven't talked to you in a hot minute.
You know, Mike Heck, we're moving and shaking over here. We're not spending as much time on X, unfortunately.
Hey, I don't blame you, my man.
It's, there are better places, unfortunately. But regardless, so Mike, just to give you a little bit of background, I'm here in Manhattan. I'm here in New York City, and I was eyeing these MSG tickets for a couple months now. And I decided I wasn't going to pull the trigger when they were $1,000. And then the John Jones fight fell through, and I was like, all right, that's kind of a bummer, but I think it's going to lower the prices. So I look at the prices, and keep in mind that, like, it's still New York, so it's always going to be pretty stupid. But right now they're sitting at about $350 to get in the door. What is Mike Heck's number that makes buying tickets for Madison Square Garden for this UFC event worth it? What is your threshold?
Have you been to a UFC event before?
I have not been. I actually went to a PFL event before I went to a UFC event.
I mean, look, because I've been to a bunch, like, even before I started covering events, I would go anytime I could. Like, when they were in Boston, I went to everything. I think I went to every single card in Boston, whether as a fan or covering it. And that includes the Frankie Edgar, BJ Penn card and the James Toney, Randy Couture fiasco and all that shit. So, but I've been to a few, and obviously I wasn't spending $350 on tickets. Like, I think I went as a fan with, like, the same buddy 3 years in a row. And we had, like, good seats. We're, like, right in the middle, in the loge section. We're in the balcony. We're on the floor. We're right in the middle, which is, like, primo in terms of fight viewership. Like, you can actually watch the fights and not have to look at the screen. And I think, like, I don't think I ever paid more than maybe $90 for tickets. And that includes a pay-per-view. That includes the fight night headlined by TJ Dillashaw and Dominic Cruz. Obviously, when they went back to Boston this past year, the prices were – I mean, I had so many friends hitting me up being like, dude, it's way too expensive. I'm not going. And I'm like, I don't blame you. I don't know if I'm spending $350 on this card. I don't know. And that's probably going to get you, like, in the back, the bowels of the building, if you will, in the way, way back. It is MSG and it's the UFC. It's going to be, like – fun. It's gonna be fun. I don't know. Maybe wait till tomorrow. I don't think this is gonna be an official sellout. I don't. I think the gate will still be great. It'll be one of the high ones. If we got Jones and Stipe, I think this would have been a legit sellout. They're very close to selling out. That once the fight fell through, a lot of people gave their tickets back. So I don't know. You can look at it right now. There's still a lot of tickets left from what I saw yesterday, unless they just got, like, this whole – let's see what we got here. Let's take a gander. Let's take a look at the map and the colors. All right. Yeah, so right now, cheapest ticket, $331.16. That is section – it's not on the balcony. 227? Yeah, it kind of is. It's up there. I don't know. I just think it's going to be fun. If you want the whole, like, experience of MSG and watching fights, like, there's really nothing like it, man. Like, I covered UFC 244. I didn't watch a single fight in the arena until the last two. I watched the last half of... I got to go cage after the last half of Darren Till and Kelvin Gastelum, and I was like, Jesus, I should have waited another 10 minutes. And then the whole experience with Masvidal and Diaz and their walkouts, and, like, I mean, there's just this special energy in that building. It just is. There's no place like it. I've seen Pearl Jam probably 30 times, and I've seen them all over the place, but I saw them at Madison Square Garden once, and it was like, damn. Like, it's just a different feeling. I would wait a day because I don't think this – like I said, I don't think this is going to sell out, and I think some of these prices might drop a little bit. Maybe wait till tomorrow. I think if we can get down to, like, $250, $275, I think the vibes and the excitement are going to go up a little bit. The tough thing about this card too, and then I'll go to CV, there's just, like, no drama here. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no drama. And that's okay. As hardcore fans, like, I don't need to see personal beef with every single fight that I watch. But boy, that was that press conference was. Look, I don't need the all chaos. I don't need bottles to fly at every press conference, but this was I don't even know how to describe it. It just was like, it was a professional press conference, but it didn't sell an extra pay-per-view for a fist fight. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't hate it, but it wasn't like, wasn't a memorable thing where it's like, oh, now it's on. Now these guys really don't like each other. It's all respect. And Tom Aspinall's comparing himself to different animals. Says he would lose a dick measuring contest to Sergey Pavlovich. Like, he's funny. Aspinall was great, but I don't know, man. It just this is a hardcore fans card. I'll leave it at that. But if it gets down there, go. I think the energy will still be good. CV, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Heck of a morning. Happy Friday. Yeah, I do agree with you. The press conference yesterday was it was very sterile, like very clean, professional, almost like lifeless. But you know, the fight's going to be good. Fight's going to do the talking for itself, and all this MSG talk. For context, I went to 268 2 years ago. It was the Usman Covington rematch. And we also got balcony seats, me and my friends, and we paid like $800 Canadian. So I would say that's like around $600 US. I mean, super expensive, but I would say it was worth it. And that'll be probably the only event I go to. And speaking of like future events, now that we got like 297 shaping up here. I'm on Tapology right now. I was ready to like shit on this card, but actually, like, you know, like obviously we got Strickland Duplessis and we got the women's vacant bantamweight championship. I don't know if this fight's been confirmed yet, but Arnold Allen and Evloev, and we also got Chris Curtis versus Marc-Andre Barriot. Like, I know it's a Canadian card, and obviously, like, the Canadian cards are not as good as when, like, when GSP was still fighting. And obviously, Canada doesn't have, like, a big MMA star right now. But, like, I mean, 297, I was ready to shit on it. But I'm, like, just looking at how the card is shaping up to be, I mean, it's not too bad. But I don't know. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
No, it's not too bad. And like for context with UFC 268, which you paid $600 for, you got Usman Covington, you got Rose Namajunas, Zhang Wei Li in the rematch, you got Chito Vera, Frankie Edgar, Shane Burgos, Billy Q, and Justin Gaethje, Michael Chandler. That was your main card. You had the UFC debuts of Alex Pereira, Chris Curtis, Ian Machado Gary, and Chris, was that Chris Barnett's debut? I think it was. Oh, no, he lost to Ben Rothwell. That was Chris Barnett's UFC pay-per-view debut. Yeah, that fight, I mean, that card was insane. That card was insane. There was a buzz to that one. Bobby Green, Ally Quinta was on that card. The first fight of the night on the main card was Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. Like, that is nuts. And then after that, Shane Burgos and Billy Quarantillo had, like, a top 10 fight of the year, which was, like, impossible to follow Gaethje and Chandler. Yeah. But 297, let's take a gander here. Yes, Arnold and Evloev is accurate. We ended up confirming that. We first reported Neil Magny, Mike Malott. So that's happening. Charles Jourdain, Sean Woodson. Leonace and Patterson. Why did it freeze? Malcolm Gordon, Jimmy Flick. Sadai versus Ramon Tavares. Julian Robertson, Pauliano Viana. Brad Katona, Garrett Armfield, Chris Curtis, MAB. We get two title fights. Look, having Sean Strickland's first title defense in Toronto is just promotional malpractice. I'm just going to put that out there. It literally makes no sense. However, this is the best the UFC can do. And it's a damn good fight. And I love it. I love this fight. A lot of people are kind of down on it. I love it. I think it's going to be absolute mayhem. And I think of all the actual available options, this was the best way to go. And I've been saying it for a while. They should just go ahead and book Strickland DDP, because I don't want to see Volk fight on this card after getting knocked out by Islam Makhachev. So, yeah, it's not bad, man. I mean, it's not bad. It's better than 289. It's like the main card is going to be Strickland DDP, the Pennington-Spino Silva fight. We're getting Arnold Allen, Mavzarev Loyev. I'm sure Mike Malott will be on the main card with the Neil Magny fight. Maybe Charles Jourdain kicks it off with Sean Woodson. Like, that's going to be a fun friggin' fight too. So I think the main card will be solid, and the rest will have a lot of local flavor. So not bad. Not too shabby. All right, we'll go to Foreign Sniper Henderson. We'll try Nicholas one more time, and then we got to go. Go ahead, Foreign Sniper.
Hey, Mike. Hey, yep. Heck of a morning. Just real quick, I wanted to ask you, was there any large, like, plus money props that stick out to you? I'm on my sports bookie right now, and I'm looking at a line for Tom Aspinall for a second round submission at plus 1400. Anyone on Tom Aspinall by submission, I would recommend you play that. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on any other, I guess, large plus money props. That's all, Mike.
Yeah, I think, I don't think I went like with the rounds, but I do have a bet on Tom Aspinall by submission. I got it at plus 350. So I doubled up on Aspinall. I've Aspinall straight at minus 118. I've Aspinall by sub at plus 350, but I don't mind doing the sprinkle thing. I would probably I'd probably take like a unit and just do like half on submission round one and half on submission round two. Like I like that value there. I really do. But I think that's like the biggest prop I have. Everything else is just tied up in a bunch of parlays. Like, so here are all my bets. You'll see some of them. Some of them you'll see on the screen tomorrow. Some of them I'll have to tell you about because there's so many. And we don't want to take up the whole screen. So I have Alex Pereira minus 122. Aspinall minus 118. Aspinall by sub plus 350. Main event over 1.5 at minus 150. Lopez plus 100. Lopez plus 3.5. So I kind of hedged on Lopez. Because even if he loses, he's going to cover I think it's going to be a super close fight. It's probably a split decision. So I have Lopez plus 3.5 points, minus 165. BSD by KO, TKO plus 165. Tabitha Ricci plus 140. Parlays, I got Santini and Dern plus 119. Emers, Rebecki, Dern plus 140. I have the main event under 4.5. Co-main under 3.5. And Ursig versus Costa over 1.5 pays out at minus 108. And then I have just like a fun main cardy proppy parlay that the last four fights don't go the distance. For Volvo Santini, Dern Andrade, the co-main event, the main event, none of them go the distance. That pays at plus 126. So that's going to be fun to watch as it all unfolds. So, but I like the Aspinall play. If you're going to, you got to pick and choose, throw a little sprinkle on rounds one and two. Why the hell not? Henderson, go ahead.
Tia, real excited about tomorrow's card. Just wanted to say about MSG, like, for those of you that might be visiting for the first time or not really from New York City, you might not realize, but MSG is like in the heart of this middle of Manhattan. So it's a great place to go see everything real quick, see Broadway, go to MSG, see some fights, and the train station to get in and out of there from New Jersey is like literally in the basement of MSG and Penn Station. So there's a lot of things that you can do around there. Make sure to take advantage of that. I can't afford to go, but maybe one day I'll win the lottery and I can go to an MSG card, but we'll see how it goes. Just one other point for a free-for-all Friday was that one group of contracts that got exposed in that lawsuit that was interesting for me, maybe in a good way, was the Anderson Silva contracts, because it kind of put into perspective why he stuck around for so long. He was making like $4 or $5 million per fight, even at the end of his career, after he had lost the title. And over the course of his career, it seems like he might have even made more money than Conor McGregor strictly off purses. So I just was wondering if you knew how Anderson Silva got such a beneficial contract when the UFC really wasn't giving them out. Like, he was making like twice what Rousey was making. So another little victory for the Spider, even in the midst of that losing streak. But just wanted to hear your thoughts.
That's a good question. I honestly don't know the answer. Anderson was a big star, man. Like, he got over big. He was in a lot of people's minds during that middleweight title run. The best fighter in the world, regardless of weight, regardless of anything. So, yeah, I think that's probably part of it. I mean, the dude has so many title defenses. He headlines so many cards. A lot of those performances were memorable and some not so memorable. But, yeah, Anderson was in the good graces and earned that right. And maybe that explains some of those performances as well. Some of those title fights, like the Damian Maia one and so forth and so on. Because he was making all that money. Yeah, this, I'm telling you what, man. This antitrust suit, it's going to be crazy if this gets, and I, like, honestly, like, there's going to be another discovery period later on this month. So I think more stuff will come out. And I think the UFC will probably try to settle this. They would be in their best interest to try to settle it. But I don't know if the fighters involved are going to settle. And if they don't, like, we're going to see a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you can't change the industry if you settle. But you're also taking a risk if you don't. So, yeah, this is going to be – this could be the biggest – this could end up being the biggest story in the history of MMA. Like, there are enough legs on this that it could be. It could literally change the entire sport when it's all said and done. It's going to be a fascinating next 6 months to a year when it comes to this story. Nicholas, do we have you? Close us out.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Thanks, bro. Two quick questions. Should I bet my house and my girlfriend on Mackenzie Dern on Saturday? And is there going to be a guest on the watch party? Hashtag Nick Diaz Army.
Yes, there will be two guests on the watch party. Shaheen Al-Shadi will join us for the main event. And back by popular demand, look, well, we have a big heavyweight fight. We have to bring in the GOAT. We got to bring in the GOAT for the heavyweight fight. It's Paca Porter, my friends. Paca Porter returns to the watch party to watch the co-main event with us. We had a lot of fun with him for the Strickland Adesanya card for the Tai Tuivasa fight. And he's going to come back. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The GOAT returns to the watch party. Very excited. My man Paca Porter will be joining us. Do you bet your house and your girlfriend on Mackenzie Dern? No. No, I mean, I have exposure on Mackenzie Dern, but I'm not betting houses or girlfriends or anything more than like a cup of coffee on any of these fights for the most part. Like, the betting units are not very big. Like, don't feel bad if I lose bets. GCs, you like, gambling units are way more riskier. Like, the dude just, this is what he does. I just do it for the entertainment purposes. We got the DraftKings thing, so why not? Why not have some fun? That's what I say. And we're going to have some more fun in a little over an hour's time, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, live preview show. Myself, Shaheen, my best friend AK, we're going to have some fun. We'll go for about an hour. We'll have the People's Pre-Fight Show tomorrow, probably around 5:15 Eastern time to get you ready for 295. And all sorts of fun. So we are done here. Thank you for all the questions. I didn't want to leave you guys hanging. Kind of a weird schedule today, especially with the weigh-in show starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. but I didn't want to leave you guys without a show today. So thank you all for popping in. If you couldn't get a question in, join us for the People's Pre-Fight Show tomorrow at 5:15 p.m. Eastern. That's all we do. We're just going to take questions on the YouTube channel. And don't miss the MMA Hour. Live from New York City, City Winery, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. If you can't get a ticket, you can't because they're sold out. But you can watch it on the YouTube channel. So thank you all very much. Have a great rest of your day. And as always, have a heck of a morning.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.